This looks like the end. We spent the last 6 weeks, I guess, already, focusing on the halachic possibilities of Zionism. We started off by discussing why potentially no, what proofs are there perhaps in the Torah that this cannot be, that it could not be a good idea, that Israel is being reestablished now, the halachic problems with it. We responded with the idea that perhaps that we have already entered the Messianic era. And we spent the time focusing back and forth on the sources. On the one hand, we focus on the Satmar Rebbe, who is, as you all well knew probably before you walked in the first time, was not a supporter of the State of Israel and the Zionist movement. And on the other hand, the Ema Ban Smecha, and afterwards the Rav Kasher and his Tekufa Gedola, who very much think that not only is it okay, but we've actually begun what was called the Aschalta de Geula, the very beginning of the redemption. Thank you. The truth of the matter is, as we come to finish up today, I have some confessions to make. The first one being that there are a lot more options besides those two. And in fact, the two options that we've been focusing on, by and large, are probably not either of them within the mainstream. We start off today with a sefer called the Shut B'nai Banim. The Shut B'nai Banim was written by Rav Henkin, who was a grandson of Rav Henkin, so we got the name. The B'nai Banim is an interesting sefer, and in it, he has, I think, last I checked, he had 4 volumes. I don't know if a volume 5 came out yet. He's married to Rabbanit Henkin, actually, this Rav Henkin. That's what he's best known for. And he explains that really when it comes to the approaches regarding Zionism, he says there are 4 approaches. Now, he suggests a 5th approach. That 5th approach we're not going to really focus on. Right? But these are the 4 standard approaches. The first 2 approaches are the approaches that we have focused on until now. So Yeshin Arba Kvutzos Hacholkos Bedeosema Medinas Yisrael. The Kvutz Rishona, Aniakro Mevi Mashiach. The first one, the people that are already welcoming the Mashiach. Kihem Betuchim Shemedinas Yisrael, He Hascholas Hagu'ula Hasofit. They are convinced beyond any doubt that the State of Israel is the beginning of the ultimate redemption. Hakvutzazu Nimnim Chogi Yeshivat Merkaz Harav. Those who follow Rav Kook and attend the Merkaz HaRav Kook Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, they would definitely fit into this category. That what happens in the time of Mashiach, that has begun already. We are right now living in the Messianic era. It's about to start. So what do they point at? There are certain things alluded to in the Gemara which we see happening today. So they look at things, and we've done this over the last 6 weeks. There are certain things that you look at the Gemara, the Gemara says this is going to happen. We say, aha, that's exactly what's going on nowadays. Clearly, right now we're in the Messianic era as explained by the Gemara and the Midrashim. And those things where it says that this is God, that's the main part of it. Certain things haven't happened yet. Those aren't important. Right? Those who are the messianists look at what is happening and says, that's right. Uh-huh. And the other things, like, don't worry, we'll get around to that. Right? Give it time, that'll happen as well. Only at the beginning. We haven't done the whole thing yet. So datum kvar bo, hey mafarshim lefi perushim matimim ledatum. And they focus on things that will work out well for them. If there's a comment in the perushim that fits in well with their thesis, they point to it. And if it doesn't fit in well, they turn a blind eye to it. Kipirushim mashabinin hari yisrael nosim perim. Right, meaning that the fact we pointed at this, that at the time of the Mashiach, the land of Israel is going to start to give fruits again. So they say, aha! Right? There you go. B'Masechus Sanhedrin. So he says, that's approach number one. Kvutza Shnia, what's the second group? The opposite end of the spectrum. He shall marchike hasatan. They believe, land of Israel, furthest thing you could possibly have from the Messiah. In fact, the Satan himself is involved in it. Hasovim shemedina Israel hi yitzira shel satan. This is the, it's all maisa satan. Al kvutza zu nimdim choge hanuturei karta v'acherim. And the members of the Neturei Karta are very much in this camp. And others as well. Some people say that this is God's way of testing us, to make sure we won't follow them. If you're really a tzaddik, you would not follow the Medina. Maybe God's behind it. Maybe God's unrelated to it. Maybe the Satan's doing it on his own. Hey, Matsuyim al Mixas Marmar Tamu Midrashim Vomrim She'el Eker. They look at the ones that indicate that this is not and say, aha, that's what's important. And the other ones? Not so important. They love Marmarim Achemim Vomrim She'en Amiker. Vein Bochrim Pirushim Amatim Ladaitim. I mean, that's how we mean Pirushim She'en Lafidaitim. They follow the ones that fit in well. And they ignore the other ones. So basically what he's saying is the messianic Zionists and the satanic anti-Zionists are to a certain extent opposite sides of the same coin. Both of them have certain indications that they might be right. They have other indications that they might be wrong. And they choose to follow the ones that make them right. However, he says, that's not everybody. There are a lot of other options out there. Hakvutza Shlishit. What is this third group that we've never discussed before? Hishal Machshive Ha'odam Hasovrim She'em Di Israel Min Ha'Gu'ula V'Afro Min Ha'Sidnes. Some people say, you know what? It's not the Mashiach. And it's not the Satan. It's not Satan. It's not the Messiah. What is it? It's a country. It's a country like any other country.
What a country.
Vavro Ella he maisa b'nei Adam. God, the Messiah, didn't bring it upon us. The Satan didn't bring it upon us. Man brought to us the land of Israel. People who take this approach are tend to be people that were they not for the fact that they were a professor, no one would have ever listened to them. So what do they say? These people get up and say, listen, you live in America. You're an American. You pay your taxes. Right? You go and you pray for the wellness of the government. Fine. You get up and say, oh, the America, the Satan brought us America. No. You get up and say, oh, you know, it's messianic to be in America. No.
Founding fathers.
Yeah. Right, all of us, I could know him. The founding fathers. What? So the bottom line is this approach is you kind of say, you take God out of the picture. You know, it happens. Things go up, things go down. This is a great country, this Israel thing. In terms of the way the Jews are treated, it doesn't get much better than this. There's a lot to be grateful for. But what?
Is he alluding to?
Perhaps. Right?
I thought so.
Yeah. So that's the story. Get over it. It's a country. You know, you got all this, they pick up the garbage, you pay your taxes. Obviously, that's, but then there's the fourth approach. Hakvutza revias hishal mechasre yediyah. The fourth group of people who just don't know. They don't know. Hey, bomim shi efshel likvoa tiva shal ha'atzmaut, ashiz baron. What's this in history? When I get through history, I'll let you know what it is. Is this a good thing? Is it a great thing? Is it a terrible thing? Is it a neutral thing? Is it temporary? I don't know at this point. Right? Lo Navi v'lo ben Navi anochi. I am not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I can't tell you what it is. Akvutza zo nimnim Rashi Yeshiva University in New York. Who are these people? There are Bayim in YU, out of all the people. Vacherim and others. Algan Kuzihi Mesame Misparki Harabim Rotim Hezbollahan Olkan. These aren't the people, because people aren't comfortable with this. People want to know. So it's interesting. There's a fellow Rabbi Gil student. I think he's currently some sort of editor of the OU Press. I think he's the editor of the OU Press, a lovely fellow. And I'll tell you, when I first came up with this idea, maybe 10 years ago, that I wanted to go through the writings of the Satmar Rebbe and the writings of the people who are, and just to go through the sugyas. So actually, I started working on it on an LL plane. I've never given these shiurim before. I finally wrote them this summer. This is fresh. So at the time, I ran into him on a, and I said to him, you know, we were schmoozing. I know him from back from yeshiva, and I said, no, I've got this idea. He said, I just wrote a series of articles on it. So he sent it to me. So he defines these four, and again, I used a lot of his outline in approaching this. He said, there's basically four groups. There's the Messianic Zionists, there's the Anti-Zionists, there's the Non-Zionists, and there are the Hopeful Zionists. Right. Right? Right? That's what they are. He says there are people that are convinced, there are people that are convinced not, there are people who don't care, and there are people who care but they don't know. That is the four groups. Where do we fit in? I can speak for myself. Where do I fit in? What are our beliefs in this? And more importantly, what I want to focus on tonight is, where did the rabbis of our generation and the generation before, the rabbis since 1948, it's not fair to look before 1948, because it was all theoretical before then. But the great rabbis who live today, who lived in the last generation, those who lived through this, what did they think really? Were they all the great gedolim really anti-Zionists? Were they really Zionists? What were they, practically?
And are you going to sketch it all, the fifth approach?
The fifth approach is an interesting approach. So I'll just say, because you asked, I wasn't gonna. But once you asked, I'll tell you. The idea is that the fifth approach is that Israel is God's way of giving us hope. That not necessarily that it's the beginning of any process, but in light of the Holocaust, God, I don't want to say the words, but threw us a bone. That is the, you know, I don't think that that's, as much as he minimizes other approaches, I would minimize that approach. Interesting. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, it was generally believed that his top student was Rav Nissen Alpert. Rav Alpert was a Rebbe in YU, and Rabbi student in his articles, which is actually all online. It was a part of, he has a blog, which at the time was called Torah Musing, that's now called Hirhurim. And he says, on the occasion of Rav Kook's 50th Yortzeit, Rav Nissen Alpert eulogized him and began by pointing out that both Rav Kook and the Satmar Rav were outside the mainstream on this issue. That the bottom line is, just like the Satmar approach is really a minority approach, that outside the Satmar Rebbe himself, right, since 1948, shall we say, there have not been a lot of people who have taken that approach. Prior to 1948, perhaps, there was more of an approach, but once the State of Israel came to be, by and large, like it or don't like it, this idea that you know, is the work of the Satan. We generally don't believe that the Satan runs the world. That's not our religion. Similarly, he said, to be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have entered the Messianic era, that too is beyond the mainstream. It's also a divergent opinion. And he points out that there is no reason that one's teaching should be excluded from the community any more than the others. I might think that the Satmar Rebbe is a fringe opinion and therefore should be ignored. Well, again, you should say the same with Rav Kook as well, and vice versa. Meaning that whether you follow it or not, if you consider Rav Kook, I'm not convinced that it's the Messianic era, but still, I respect Rav Kook's opinion. So too, a person should give the same respect to the Satmar Rebbe's opinion, and vice versa. If someone, you know, again, respects the Satmar Rebbe, you should respect Rav Kook as well. So I just want to take an opportunity to run through some of the opinions. The first opinion I'm going to quote is Rav Henkin again, but this is the original Rav Henkin. before there was Rav Moshe Feinstein on the Lower East Side, there was Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was the Gadol Hador. He was accepted as the leader of American Jewry. And when he passed on, Rav Moshe Feinstein took over. He writes this, he did not print all that much during his lifetime, but posthumously they published much of his writings. Tshuvas Ivra is the name of the responsa, and this is the second chelek. And I leave the date because we're talking about Mar Cheshvan Tuf Shin Yud Tes, 1959. Late, so 1959, might be late 58 actually, probably is. There was an article. The article is written by an unnamed person, but it kind of works out well with the time that the Satmar Rebbe's writings came out on the topic. It says, Nirati Bekroi Bechomosenu, there was a journal, Chomosenu, gives the date. Davra Bela Shetar Limsor Nefesh Shalom Yirazor Lemedinas Yisrael Neged HaKomim Aleim. It says, a person has to go and do Mesiris Nefesh, put everything he can, not to help Israel when they get attacked. It was written in an article. Lahachidim, Reposkim Zeh Adin Al Pitar Kedosha Al Smach Masha Osir Chazal Limrod Beumos. Why not? Because you weren't allowed to rebel against the nations. The state of Israel is a rebellion. It was a violation of Rosh Yalu B'choma, and therefore one is prohibited from helping the state of Israel.
If you're being attacked, it's a question of defending yourself too.
Right.
Not just defending.
So he responds, "Who giloi panim b'Torah shelo kahalacha?" Basically, he's saying that's ridiculous. You're going to put millions of Jews, you're not going to help? Millions of Jews are about to get killed in Israel? You just don't care? They say don't rebel because you're going to get killed. That's dumb. Maybe they shouldn't have done this, but once they've already done it, of course you save a Jew. Just like before the Zayisheni. The Chachami said, don't rebel against Rome. And the king was against it also. Even though they were against it, of course, once there was a rebellion, of course they're going to help the Jews. So how is this worse than that? All the rabbis that were opposed to Zionism, that was only before 1948. They thought you shouldn't push it. They thought it was a bad idea. But once 1948 came and there is a state of Israel, what do you mean? If someone gets up at this point and says, don't defend the land of Israel and don't protect the Jews that are there, you're a murderer. Especially when you're talking about a situation where millions of Jews could be killed. This is the late 1950s. He then goes on to say, Hamarim shekasafti kodem hakomas medina. He said, I wrote about this before 1948. He said, they're all published, you can see them. I'm not a supporter of the government. I was violently opposed before 1948 to set up the state of Israel. Even though I was opposed to it, I didn't want it to happen. But at this point, of course you support it. So what do you do now? You go and you protect it when you can, and you go and you try to get them down on the set the government on the right and narrow. You call the Sivo Shal Shalom. We trust the Torah. So he goes on and on. He says, bottom line is, listen, whoever wrote this article, and you can guess who wrote the article, might be a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but at this point, I supported you. I thought you were right before 1948. Now, that's not how history went. So even those who were anti-Zionists, you see, at this point, it's a whole different question. Right now, as a bare minimum, you know, in the event that they were attacking Brooklyn, would we go and defend it? Because there's so many Jews there? Of course we would. Right? When Jews are being attacked in Russia, when Jews are being attacked anywhere in the world, of course we do. Israel's no worse than that. So that's that approach. Rav Eliyahu Dessler, 1948 this letter's from.
If he feels that the Hamas, that Medina is under the Zara, that's
not really... No, but I'm saying is that is a fringe approach. Even the people that were opposed to the Hamas Medina, at this point, they're saying, you got to support it.
Even if, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate over here. Even according to those who say it's management.
It's funny, Maisa Sotin, devil's advocate. Because that is what you're advocating, that it is Maisa Sotin. Correct, but that gives you the idea that no one really held of it. We've been presenting this as the anti-Zionist. That's the Satmar Rebbe. The truth of the matter is, even those... And the Aguda. The Aguda was opposed to it beforehand, but they joined...
Lashitas of the
Satmar Rebbe. Right, but his sheet is a Das Yachin. Lashitas, so fine. That doesn't make it right. But being consistent doesn't mean it's correct.
Okay, I just want to say the Svara is still there, though.
But Elio Dessler, very interestingly, learned for quite some time in Panovich and Bnei Brak. And then in 1948, he was in Gateshead. And he wrote two letters. This is one of the two of them that we have. To the students in Panovich and Bnei Brak regarding what's going on. So again, he's sitting in England. He's safe. There in Israel, 1948, you're not safe in Israel. So he says, Ulai aschata d'gula t'ikodem ha'tshuva. Maybe the aschata d'gula can come before people do tshuva. Masha onu asher b'artzeinu akadosha kosher agdiro. Ka'eska aschata d'gula. It's hard to say with any certainty that we have begun the Messianic era, he says. Can't say. V'okoponim chasidim gedolim min ha'kotza l'kotzaim. Great rabbis go from one end to the other end. Miketza yisurin shel churban sheshes alfei alafim me'achinu. We've gone from the lower of the lows. 6 million of our brothers died. Al'kotza sheni ha'itchiyashus amenu b'medina seinu b'eretz ha'kadosha. Up to the fact that all of a sudden we're controlling Israel. We have our own country again. So the bottom line is, he said, there's something going on here. It can't be coincidental that you go from a Holocaust to an establishment of the state of Israel in 3 years. If you don't see something going on, you're missing it. What is the something? Is the something the Mashiach? He says, I don't know. I just don't know. So this is what we would call the hopeful Zionist. Of Yaakov Kabinetsky, in his Sefer on Chumash, they have an interesting footnote. So they come that from time to time, Rav Yaakov would say, this is how we understand Israel. After the terrible time which we had where everyone was giving up hope, and also what's happening with a million people being Jews stuck in Russia. Not really, the truth is. But the bottom line is, he says, this is God reaching out to us. Reaching out to us as the beginning of something? So we'll get Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, looking at Rav Dessler, these approaches seem to be, there's something going on here. Right? You can't turn around and say this does not have religious significance. It clearly has religious significance. What is that religious significance? Nobody knows. There is nothing written by Rav Soloveitchik himself about his Zionistic feelings. There are two things that are written that I know of by others. Clearly, Rav Soloveitchik was known as a Zionist. He was head of the Mizrahi in America for many years. As a young man, he was a member of the Aguda, as his family was before, and eventually switched over. But to say that he was confused and messianic, that would not be fair at all. Rav Soloveitchik, it seems, was clearly a hopeful Zionist. He says, on the one hand, he categorically refuses to treat the establishment of the State of Israel as a messianic event. For all his enthusiasm for an independent Jewish state, he was not prepared to quote the preliminary status of Aschalta de Gula. On the other hand, he was unequivocally opposed to do-nothing passivity of the pietists as they await the arrival of the Messiah. That seems to be the approach that many people took, if not the majority. There's something going on right now. God is telling us something. We don't know what it is. As history plays itself out, we will find out. You know, if you turned in 1948 to the most messianic of opinions and turned to them and said, where are we going to be in 50, 60 years from now? Undoubtedly, they would all have said, right. We're now sitting 68 years later, and we're not there yet. Yes?
I remember growing up in Israel that the early years of the state, many of the great rabbonim of the generation of Unterman, of Fishman, Maimon, from rabbonim, you know, from
right, the,
definitely believed that Medinat Yisrael was Achalta Regula, because the rabbanut originally decided that we have to say Halal with a bracha. Their approach was very much Zionistic. Over the years, it became a little bit less Zionistic, more Haredi.
Right, the
kind of went away from it a little bit.
Right, but the question is why? Is it because?
I don't know, I'm pointing at
right, so it could be right
because they didn't see the progression.
Right, so it could be. It couldn't just be, you know, a shift to the right. It could be the fact that it didn't progress the way that they were hoping or they were expecting. What?
Or it could be the government or state.
The government was never great.
But the chief rabbis, the big from known, the Unterman, all of these.
So speaking of which, if you look at the Yabia Omer, right? Clearly an excellent example of a chief rabbi.
Yeah.
Rav Avadia, right? Probably, you know, the best known, if not the greatest, of all the Sephardic Chayot. That's number 7.
Great.
Says he is talking about whether or not to say a full halal and whether to make a bracha on halal Yom Ha'atzmaut. Exactly what you were just talking about. He said, Muvad Kozeh, Yesh Lomar Ki Hein Omnam Rabin Vatsum Gol Yisrael, Romba Kamas Medina Aschalta de Gula. Many, many people out there see this as Aschalta de Gula. Kei Masha Kosab Yerushalmi, Rav Chiyah, Rav Shimon Ben Charafta, Havi Mahalchin, Vro, Ayelet HaShachar, Jubokea Ora. Just like, you know, they were walking in the morning and the sun was beginning to dawn. Amalei, Rav Chiyah, Rav Shimon Ben Charafta, Berebi Kachi Gulosim Shal Yisrael, Betchila, Kima Kima. This is how it's going to come. It's like sunrise. A little at the beginning. And it picks up steam. My time was really ki eshe b'choshech Hashem orli. Like it says, I sit in the dark and God is a light to me. U'megillah milchama nami aschalta de gula hi. Gemara indicates that a war is the beginning of the gula. V'agam Rav Mendel Kasher, Shlita, b'seva tkuva gedola, all the people really were convinced of it. But the bottom line is we still seem to have a long ways to go until we're actually at the Mashiach. Whether it has to do with the country, it has to do with the army. Whether to do with the fact that we are just not there religiously yet. We're not there yet. It's a road. We're on a path. We're getting there, but we're not there yet.
What does Pal the Brach have to do with the Aschata the Gula?
Again, because the idea would be, again, this is hey of a tshuva. So just in terms of, obviously, in terms of Ravada, I didn't give you the background. But the idea he's saying is, if you're going to make Hallel, right, if you're going to say Hallel, it's on that we a salvation.
So with Manavshak, it's a salvation. But if you want to look at it as Aschata the Gula or not, regardless, it's still a nace.
No, it could be temporary. God, we've been taught to be koveya a halal with a bracha for God's kais all the time.
Not
ma'aser satan
with or without a bracha.
Yeah, no one says it's ma'aser satan here.
Part of the reason that Rav Ovadia wrote the tshuva this way, because there was an internal conflict between him and Rav Goren when they were both chief rabbis, and if Rav Goren said it's night today, Rav Ovadia said it's day. Mm-hmm. Everything was in a half of constantly they were fighting nonstop.
But this, I think, hashkofically, this really seems to be the approach. The approach seems to be that we are hopeful. We very much hope that this is the Aschata de Gula, but to say we can say with a fair amount of certainty, we're not there. Interestingly, this comes up not only in Hallel, but it comes up in another tefillah as well. Tefillah L'Shalom Medina. There's a lot of discussion as to who wrote the Tefillah L'Shalom Medina, who wrote the prayer for the government of Israel.
I thought it was Rav Unterman.
So they predated him. Pashas, it would seem that was probably Rav Herzog, they believe. And it was touched up by Agnon. Right? They say because Agnon wrote it, exactly. One of Agnon's kids says he did write it, the other says he didn't write it, etc. The key word, again, that people discuss is Reishis Smichas Geulaseinu. That this is, again, the beginning of the budding of the Geula. People got upset with that. Not just, again, the Haredim, you know, the Saber, they could care less about it. With those words, without those words, they're not praying for the government. It doesn't make a difference. You could say that they're
Santa. Pray for the Tsar Nikolai.
Right. He should watch over us.
Exactly. He's better than the
right. The but other people, for example, the chief rabbi of England, Lord Emmanuel Jacobowitz, came out against it, and he added a word. Actually, this is I think the only time I've ever called. I was looking for the most primary source I could for the fact that there was this change. It wasn't written anywhere. I found it in an article from Haaretz in 2008. Doesn't make my makomus that often. It says, Harav Rishik Anglia, Rav Emanuel Jacobowitz, piercing Nusach Tfira Shebo Nema, Berechas Medina Yisrael, Shetehei Reshit Smichas Guloseinu. That it should be. We pray that it should be. I wish it's that's what a prayer is. I hope that's what it is. He can't say for sure. It's interesting. I found a lot of people that really support this. The person who first told me to do this, to say today, was Rabbi Norman Lamb. Rabbi Norman Lamb, after the assassination of Rabin, got up and this was a personal conversation. He said, not saying Shetehei led to the killing of Rabin. It's very Rebbish. What does that mean? He said as follows. He says, if you believe that you're a messianist and that 100% the messianic era has begun, if somebody is stopping it, for example, by giving back some of the land, which is the exact opposite, you have to kill him. If you're convinced that we are in a messianic era, you have no choice but to kill him.
That's why Rabbi Lior Paskett that somebody's Ashe Yesha Paskett that you can't give back the land.
Right. Yeah, listen. The bottom line is that we have to remember is we're all very hopeful. We hope and pray that they're right. And maybe we even suspect that they're right. But if God forbid, we ever lost the state of Israel, that would not be the end of the religion. If this ended up being, God forbid, a false start, it doesn't mean the Mashiach's not coming. It doesn't mean the religion's wrong. We're just not there yet. And, you know, we do what we can to speed it along, but that's not it. Rabbi Student, writes the same thing about Rav Moshe Feinstein. Number 9, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about the prayer for the state of Israel. He said it should be modified to indicate a hopeful Zionist view instead of messianic Zionist approach. The text, as he recommended, is as follows. Our Father in heaven, Avinu Shemayim, Tzur Yisrael V'Goro, bless the state of Israel, that it become, now please bless it, that it become the Reshit Tzmichas Gul Hoseinu. The bottom line is, I have not found anybody that has a source that Rav Moshe ever said this. I don't know that Rav Moshe finds it. Could be he did, right? But to say that Rav Moshe paskins that you have to say Shetehe, this is as close to a primary source I can find, and it's not that close. But I think, in my personal approach, I think that really is the majority. I think I'm convinced that this is not the Maisa Satan. And Rav Shetel likes to say, when did the Satan start running the world? God just hands over the keys sometimes and says, hey, go take the world for a spin? That doesn't really fit in with our view of the world, our Weltanschauung. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. To say that I'm 100% convinced that we've reached the Messianic era, it so doesn't... By the Akedah.
Forget about the Akedah, by the way.
Okay, I'll forget it. Yeah? But that's, again, you could talk about the Holocaust being that, but just not, he's not being mashkes that the sun all of a sudden is building up highways, that the whole reason is to trip us up. That you don't really have that, I don't think, right? So that's right, to say that we are convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt. No, we can't be. We're not there yet. You go to Israel, it's just not the Messianic era, according to anybody. You know, and here we are 68 years later, and we're just not there yet. Could this be Kima? Could this be the beginning of the process? Yes, I sure hope so. And also the idea that this is a country. No, this isn't a country like any other country. There's definitely more to Israel. But to say that beyond the shadow of doubt, we are convinced... I don't think so. Just as I think that it's really not defendable, the Satmar approach, I don't think that really fits into what I'm seeing. So too, I can't say that I'm 100% bought into the Messianic approach, which is why I say Shetehe. Right? Which is why not everyone's happy about it, I've heard. But, you know, I think that's the truth. I'm really convinced. It's not that I'm Satmar. It's not that I'm anti-Zionist. Quite the opposite, I would say. What? Right, that's what a prayer is. A prayer is that we're hoping. We're hoping, we're praying. Right, so again, so whether it's a value post, why we're not saying Hallel with a Bracha yet, because we're hopeful. We're a lot better than we were in 1930. Right? Right? To say that was Israel a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Absolutely. That I'm convinced without any reservations. But to turn around and say, and this gift is the beginning of the B.S. Mashiach, I don't think we can say that yet. So here we have it. We've been through 7 weeks now of discussing Zionism. I thank you all for joining me. It was the kick in the pants I needed to finally sit down and do the sugyas. And I really came out the way I came in, and that is convinced that I'm not sure where we are right now, but I hope we're heading in the right direction. Yes?
So I'm very glad to have heard these arguments of the Sofer Rebbe, but, you know, when Rabbi Student says all these opinions have to be considered sort of equally, I mean...
No.
Wait. When not equally, but...
As they respected.
Okay, but the thing is that the Sofer Rebbe is venomous. He's hateful of Zionism.
I'm not asking you to marry his daughter.
No, my point is, I didn't get to be here last week, but right. I think you said that he misapplied a Rashi. He didn't interpret it correctly, and he was using it in his argument.
So this is my thought on the matter. Someone came over to me on Shabbos, someone who has not been attending the Shurim, and said that, you know, he, on the one hand, he so respects the Satmar Rebbe's learning. He said the problem was, he says in his mind, is the Satmar Rebbe first decided how it was going to go, and then he learned the sugyas.
Exactly.
I could tell you the same thing about Rav Kook. right? Just like the Satmar Rebbe, you can make the argument, you know, prejudge the case. You can say the same thing with Rav Kook. You can say the same thing with Rav Kasher.
Meaning your Ashkafa is enough.
Meaning that, again, I'm not saying it's true by either of them.
Right,
but to the extent that again, a person, my view is they learned everything, and they developed a thesis. And once you develop a thesis, you want everything to fit into that thesis. This isn't just true here. It's not just true in Torah. It's true whoever wrote a doctorate, right? You come up with a thesis, and gosh darn it, I've read it all, and not everything works perfectly, but looking at the preponderance of the evidence, this seems to be the truth to me. And now I'm going to walk you through it and explain to you why this works out, and you shouldn't be bothered to ignore the man behind the curtain. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. But that was true on both sides, as we said here, you know? The fact, I'd rather it be messianic than be satanic, yeah, that's for sure. But I don't think it's fair to say, again, even I don't agree with the ending. But to say that again, that he brought venom and he brought, clearly he was very passionate about what he said.
Do you remember who was passionate against the Tzionim, or is Hasidim more passionate against the
Tzionim? No, I think it was him more. I would accept that. I would think that he was Beroshim. I thought that.
It's not necessarily the Machlokes of the Rabbanim, but it's the people that's a rabble around.
Right, but again, I don't think so. I'd like that to be true, but I'm not convinced. Right? I think at the end of the day, I think that this is a person, I believe, I didn't know him personally, who looked at it, and this is what he really thought was true.
My father grew up with the Sabra Rabbi, so yeah. He said it wasn't, he's not the way people portray him to be. It was much more...
It was a tzaddik.
Yeah,
he was a tzaddik.
Make it sound like it was the biggest.
Right. You read about the Sabra, you think he walks around with horns, a tail, and a pitchfork. I don't think he had a pitchfork. No. Right. That's why again. I'll be clear. I don't agree with the Satmar Rebbe. I don't think it's Maisa Sotah, not even a little bit. But I do respect what he says.
I think the opinion of the Satmar Rebbe is becoming less and less prevalent. It's becoming more and more a remote minority opinion.
Right.
As time passes in the state of Israel.
Right. But the question is, you know, the fact that 1948 was a slam dunk, you know, beginning of a process that's going to lead speedily to the Mashiach, unfortunately, time has not proven that to be true either.
But as the miracles happen and the wars and so on, more and more people, even from people, Hasidim,
right.
Say,
1967. On the one hand, 1967 was an important turning point.
Yeah.
Then again, so was 1973.
I was 73.
You know, and here we are, and it's been over 40 years since 73. You know, I don't know. Again, hopeful Zionists. I am hopeful that this is the beginning of the Geula, and I hope it's the end of the beginning. I hope we're really there right now.
So is that the fourth opinion?
Yes.
Hopeful Zionist?
Yes, that's what I would call myself, and I think that I am not a minority. I think if you look at the sources of the modern day Rabbanim, they're not all anti-Zionists. They're not all messianic. I think most of them are hedging their bets and saying that, you know what, there's no mitzvah for me to know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, given, I'm grateful for the gift that we have been given. I hope that it's the gift that keeps on giving. But, whether it is or whether it isn't, time will tell. And it could be, it's up to us. There's a very strong possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here's potential for Mashiach. And if you people make it work, great. And if not, back to the drawing board. If it is potential, let's hope that we are able to act on it, and let's hope it happens soon. Thank you.